Guten Tag, Vankas. Producer Jenny here to introduce a killer Patreon exclusive. If you want to listen to that full episode, get that full, fat, delish Patreon app, then you can go to patreon.com/trfpod. And not only will you find that, but you will also find past episodes we've done. We covered Fernando season 2 on Amazon, Driver's Red Flags, the Driver's BDE ranking. Okay, that is an iconic episode. So head there for $5 a month. That's where our tiers start. $5 a month, okay? That's a bagel order at a bougie bagel place. That's a complicated coffee order, you know, with a few extra pumps of something. All right. If you give up one of those a month, you will be sustained with unbelievable content, such lol worthy content. Also, if you maybe want to kick it up a notch, go to $10 a month. You'll get that and a live Q&A session every month with Brian and Matt, plus a weekly newsletter written by yours truly. And I really, really get into the nitty gritty details of the social media world of F1. So I will say it's a must read. Anyway, enjoy this teaser. I definitely know you will. And if you want to hear the rest of our perfect content, then you can head over to patreon.com/trfpod. Enjoy this, and I hope you head over to the Patreon and check out what's over there. All right. Love you, Vankas.
What's up, Vankas?
Hello, Vankas.
How is everybody doing?
How are you doing? Did you fucking love us talking to a Formula One journalist? People are loving that episode, Matt. We bring the people everything. We bring them the Luca Bishes of the world. We bring them hard-hitting fucking F1 journalism. This is where you get it fucking all when it comes to Formula One. But you know what? Today on the Patreon, we're giving you an extra little taste, an extra little fucking amuse-bouche, a little extra truffles on my truffle pasta, baby, because we're talking about Breakpoint.
Yeah. How many Formula One podcasts will let you listen to tennis beyond a paywall? The answer is none. None.
We stand alone in that regard, okay?
Yeah.
We stand alone, like, you know what? You know who all stands alone? The players of the fucking ATP, the fucking tennis players in Breakpoint. But you know what? They got a big team behind them. We're gonna be talking about all things tennis.
No one is alone.
That's right. And it's
people make mistakes in doubles, in singles. People make mistakes. Yeah, sorry. No,
that's right. Well, you know what? You know what I was just thinking and realizing, that we have a tennis connection. Our sketch video that we did our senior year of high school.
Yeah. Johnny McEnroe is a friend. So.
Johnny Mac's a friend. We Matt and I wrote a sketch comedy show our senior year of our high school, and we happened to go to high school with John McEnroe's daughter. Okay, and she was a friend of ours, and she was in said comedy show. And we said, we went to one of these cushy little fucking New York City private schools, okay? Let's stop beating around the bush. We're a couple.
We were the broker kids there, but yes.
Yeah. By no means were we broke, but in this school, we were the broke kids, okay? Yeah. Which I think explains a little bit of this chip on our shoulders fucking attitude. When you go to high school with kids who never have to worry about money a day in their fucking life. Billionaires. I'm not even talking about Johnny, like the Johnny Max of the world. Looked at some of these kids and go, oh damn, can I have some of that? Anyway, we did the sketch and it was a take your prom, like a prom date sketch.
It was like Meet the Parents, and like Johnny Mac was the Robert De Niro. Yep,
exactly. And in the sketch, he's like testing our friend Billy on, like, you know, do you qualify to date my daughter?
Yes.
And we were filming this, and on the day when we're doing the thing, we have this whole thing where he gives this test, and at the end he goes, "All right, you took the test and you scored love." And Billy was supposed to say, "Oh, well, you know, I don't know if we're in love yet. We're just going to prom." And then he was supposed to say, "No, love is in zero, you idiot. Like in tennis, you know." But what Johnny Mac did is that he looked at our little script.
And he threw said, it the fuck out.
And he said, "What he said? This is fucking stupid. There's a, you know what? This is a bad racing line. There's a better racing line to what you're trying to get to here." And so what he said, "In tennis, love means nothing." And Matt and I were like, "Oh,
oh." It was our first edit.
It was the first time when we were in Video Village, as they would do in the actual biz, and we go, and then we were all there when he said, "And love means nothing."
And John was like, "I'm not going to say this. I would never say this." And but the other good story from that was he was on. We were on his giant terrace.
Yes.
We're on Johnny Mac's giant terrace, and like it overlooked other buildings that were below, like the roofs of other buildings that were below.
Right.
He lived in the sickest apartment ever.
Yeah.
And there were these kids that were like, "Oh, there are kids smoking weed like on the roof."
Uh huh.
And we're like, "Oh, I know that shirt. Oh, those are kids from our school that are smoking weed on that roof." And he was like, "You know those kids?" And we're like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hey, knock it off!" Like in his big booming, "Knock it off!" Like fucking with them. And it was supposed to be a secret that we got Johnny Mac to do this video with us.
Oh.
So then the kid, I'll say OS, Oliver.
Okay, yeah.
So he comes up to me. He's a big stoner. He goes, "Hey, was I like toasted off my ass, or did John McEnroe like yell at me from a roof three blocks away?" I was like, "Dude, you were toasted. That never happened."
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
You imagined that John McEnroe. That was a dream you had.
Oh, anyway. Wow. You know what's crazy? I don't remember that at all. That sequence of events.
Well, he didn't come up to you, but at later. You don't remember him screaming?
No, I don't even remember him screaming. I don't even remember that.
Well, the whole...
But you know what? It's been a long time. We're old men. But you know what? I think it's fitting that we talk about Johnny McEnroe, because the first episode of this
is about
the newest Johnny Mac.
Yeah.
Which is Nick Kyrgios. Kyrgios. The G
is silent.
G's moving silence like lasagna. Okay?
Oh! Wait, who's the Jewish guy that always does the
Ari Melber? Ari would be proud. Wait, hold up. But before we get there, overall thoughts on the first fight. If you know what we're talking about, Netflix's Breakpoint. It's from the same people that did Drive to Survive. Yeah. They've done Breakpoint, which is the new, their new foray. They're also doing one about golf. And they're getting progressively less dangerous, the sports that everyone's playing. But what'd you think overall?
I thought it was good, not great. Definitely worth the watch, but not gonna like ruin your life. Which is like, I was talking to a Patreon of ours, a friend of ours. We know her personally. We have to talk.
If she's not a Patreon, she's a friend. Yeah.
No, I was talking to Kayla, Daddy Kayla.
Yeah, talking
to Daddy Kayla, and she's like, "I don't know. I don't know if I want to watch it." I was like, "Well, you don't like tennis?" She's like, "No, I'm worried I'm going to like it too much. It's going to ruin my fucking life." You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's going to be the vibe. I think the vibe is going to be now when tennis is like on, you'd be like, "Oh, I know that person." Or, I'll fuck with that person. Yeah. And if it's a few of the people in this, you're like, "Oh, I'm watching."
Right.
But it's not going to be heroin. For sure.
Yeah. Formula One is black tar heroin. This is like a nice joint.
A spliff. This is like a spliff.
It's a spliff. And it's nice. And it's like, the Australian Open is happening right now.
Yeah.
And I'm interested. I'm keeping tabs. But, and you know what? If Ons Jabeur makes it to the final, I will be watching.
I will be watching Ons Jabeur in the final.
And Nick Kyrgios got hurt and is not playing. And that's a little bit of a bummer. But you know, it's one of those things. So
this is actually, you guys can handle. You guys can take this on. It's not gonna. You don't have to worry about it being too good, but you don't also have to worry about it being too bad. It's right in the middle. It's the perfect.
Yes,
you can handle it.
Right. It's just a good It's just a good sports documentary series. Whereas Drive to Survive is something else.
Yes.
But it's only five episodes right now. They're going to release the second half later in the year. So it's like, it's very manageable, all that kind of stuff.
And the reason we talked about this off air is the reason why it's not as good is because like there are really no bad guys, really. There's no injustice. Everybody sort of deserves to be there, Brian, you were saying.
Right. Yeah.
Like, everybody worked really hard to get there. Right. And it's all, and everybody's, it's pretty reasonably fair. There are nuances to it not being fair.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah.
Like, but those little, divots.
Yes.
That are of unfairness
right,
like Grand Canyons in Formula One.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I don't come from a country with a big tennis background, but it's like entrepreneurs didn't kick. Like, I'm from Tunisia, and those are barriers. And she doesn't have some of the same funding as some of the other teams.
Clearly.
No,
her team consists of her husband. Well, we'll get into it.
Of her husband. But whatever. But there's still, and this is what sport typically does, which is that there's the greatness of the individual that can rise above those things.
Yes.
And that's what was fascinating about Drive to Survive, was like, I don't care how great this individual is, he ain't getting a podium if he's on the Haas team, okay?
Right.
I don't care how much he deserves to be there. I don't care how brilliant he is. I don't care about any of that stuff. It's not going to happen.
Do you want to eat stress-free this spring? You can do that with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-curated, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. It is so nice when I open that fridge and I have all my Factor meals waiting for me, because guess what? I spend about $1,000 American on Seamless, and I don't want to do that anymore. And guess what? When I order from the restaurant, I don't know how much I'm getting. I don't know what the calories are. I don't know what the dietary factors are, but with Factor, you never have to worry about that. So you can head to factormeals.com/redflags50 and use the code redflags50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code redflags50 at factormeals.com/redflags50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Go get you some Factor and start taking care of yourself, Vankas.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And the whole teammate rivalry, like, you are never going to get anything as good
as
Max Verstappen brake checking Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
That, and the teammates colliding. Like, that is just, you'll never get that. It's just never going to happen. Tennis is not that fucked up.
But Tony Nadal had some things to say about that, and we will get to that. Okay,
yes.
So let's get into the show. So the first episode is
about an Australian, but I call him the anti-Ricardo.
He's truly the anti-Ricardo.
But by the way, I will say this.
Yeah.
He's like Ricardo in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
His head doesn't seem to be fully in the game. And he doesn't seem to be fully committed.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas, like, but here's the thing. So the big thing about Kyrgios, if you don't know, is like, this guy doesn't practice. This guy's like AI, like Allen Iverson.
Right.
Allen Iverson was the shit.
For
all of you Gen Z kids, look up Allen Iverson. He was the coolest fucking guy on the planet.
You know what he had? He had Riz, dude. He had Riz. Yeah.
And he would ball out really hard. And he did. He was like Steph Curry, but smaller. And he couldn't shoot. He just had balls, and he could slash.
Right.
And he could fucking. He had the handles out the ass.
Yeah.
And he was, because he was small, he was relatable. Like, Steph Curry's relatable, but Steph Curry has this freakish jump shot.
Right.
And is not as cool. And not as cool as AI.
He was like an AN1 player.
Yeah.
Which is also a reference that no one will get. But there's a documentary about it on Netflix that you can watch. But it was like, you know, he was like, he was just a crafty fuck. His ball handles were like unbelievable. He was all this, and he didn't really like to practice.
He didn't. And he had a whole rant about him missing practice. But this guy like literally bled and died every game. Like left it all out on the court.
Right. Which Kyrgios doesn't necessarily do.
Well, that's an interesting. He tanks certain, but I want to talk about that because that's a smart thing to do. Like if you're down,
it can be.
It's a smart thing to do. I don't know why that's not allowed. It's like, well, just concede that set if you're gonna like. Why waste your energy? But anyway, but I will say this: his big thing is he barely even tries. He doesn't practice. He doesn't have a coach. He doesn't have a trainer. He doesn't have anything. Right. But he's so good. He doesn't even try. And Andy, you know, they cut to Andy Roddick.
Yes.
Who's like, I would kill for his talent. Like, like resentful as...
Andy
Roddick was a vibe in this fucking show.
Andy Roddick and Maria Sharapova are both amazing in this.
I didn't like... Maria made me feel uncomfortable in this spot.
Maria was giving full, like, inside the actor's studio. She was just like, her whole vibe, she was just like always like leaning
her
forward.
Posture
on her
posture sucked. She's what was like, with her posture?
She's like leaning forward on her knees. Tall. Like, yeah. She was just like, she was just bringing, she was trying to kind of Martin Brundle it. She was bringing Martin Brundle energy, but she's actually fucking like, she's a champion. She's like, she won like 6+ Grand Slams. Like, she's a legend.
Yeah, she came in with this like emo energy almost. Yeah. Like I'm like, what is this? And Andy Roddick just came in like a laser. Just spitting facts, being like, I would fucking kill for this guy's talent.
But he's also like Andy Roddick's bit, like you can tell that there's like a bitterness to him. He only won, I think, one Grand Slam.
Well, because he was stuck in the Agassi Sampras era. He's one of those, Leighton Hewitt's another guy that's like, they got you're not winning anything. Sampras and Agassi are going to win everything.
Which is what also you're still seeing like as a part of this show, which is that like they're all like Rafa... I mean, it's just like
the only Del Potro won for like there was it
right,
was like
right.
Del Potro won. Like he's the only guy to win a major that wasn't those three guys. Went to college with a girl who fucked Del Potro. Funny story.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Well, it's like the Hamilton thing. It's like Hamilton. It's like Hamilton Vettel.
Yeah,
right. It's like Hamilton Vettel. And if you're someone who was during that era.
Doesn't matter how,
aka Alonso.
Yeah, you
know, it's like he has that type of energy. But yeah, he goes. At one point, Roddick goes. He goes. It's like a hobby. And there's just like he's like he doesn't practice. He only does a couple. He goes. It's a hobby, and he's just like he's like
he,
there's such.
He says it with such derision. But here's the thing. Yeah. I would say, I was getting really mad at Kyrgios for that. I'm like, you have all this talent.
Uh-huh.
You have all this going for you, and you're just wasting it. And but here's the thing. The more I learned about him, the more I realized, like, oh, this is all he can give mentally to the game.
Yes.
It's like Daniel Ricciardo is like out here having too much fun.
Uh-huh.
So that's where I make the distinction. Like, I think he would literally, I think Kyrgios would literally implode if he gave him any more.
No,
like this is all he can this is all he can mentally give.
Kyrgios has like the vibe a bit of like someone who's like in recovery. Like in some way, because it's like they talk about his manager was like, yeah, there were times where like it was you had to play that day and it's 4 a.m. and I don't know where you are. I have to come find you because he was like out partying till like 4 a.m.
But I think he has he doesn't like tennis, but it sustains him. It's like, you know, it's crazy. Right. It's like if you have an alcohol problem. You could just stop drinking alcohol. If you have a heroin problem, you could stop drinking. You could stop doing heroin.
Right.
That
is
it's obviously easier. It's harder, more complicated than that. But ultimately, that's what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you talk to people who are like in Overeaters Anonymous, they can't stop food. They'll die.
Right.
So you know what
those people can be more insidious.
No. What those people have like scheduled meals.
Right.
And they have planned meals, and like that's their sobriety.
Right.
They actually can't. Like, if you're like, oh, you want this? I have extra Snickers. They can't. That's breaking sobriety for them.
Yeah.
They can't just eat your half a Snickers. Like, all their meals have to be planned. So I feel like that's kind of him with tennis. Like, he's like, I'll play this major.
Yes.
I'll do this. You know, like, this is how I make my living. But it's just like, I can't do more.
Right.
I can't OD on tennis because it makes me too miserable and I fucking hate it. And I just get into this.
Yeah.
And I implode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of these things. I don't know if I felt, I think that he loves to play tennis, but the demands of what it takes to be a top tennis player are so great and demand so much of your time, energy, so much sacrifice. And I don't think that that's like, I think when he, you know, looked at the things, he was like, I can't sacrifice. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. It's trying to fit a round peg into a square hole.
And he gets to kind of play with house money. It's almost like everyone's like, oh, he doesn't even practice and he doesn't even like have a coach. And everyone's like, isn't that cool? And I'm like, well, it's also, it's his way of avoid. It's just only upside now. He's playing with house money because if he loses, he goes, well, I didn't really try.
Right.
Like, it's almost like he's scared to really try. Because if he really tried and lost, then he would feel like shit. But now he's like, ah, this is a hobby. I'm pretty good for a hobby.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, all of the people of his generation, like, he's the most talented player that we have. His serve, he has like the best serve in tennis.
Yeah.
But there's something about it, like, I mean, I'm not a tennis, you know, buttoned up tennis person.
Obviously, there's a Happy Gilmore kind of.
I just kind of love, it's just hard not to root for that guy who's just that fucking good. And all these other nerds are out here with their schedules and their routines and they're doing other things. And he comes out there and he does like underhand serves. They didn't really show.
Yeah,
this
he does it between
like,
his legs.
Does it between his legs. He has these public meltdowns. I just like love. I love it too.
And we're gonna get into this with another person.
Yeah,
Ons. We're gonna get into it.
Right.
But I think it's the because and we talk and this happens a lot with basketball.
Yeah.
It used to be like, and if you look at like old basketball clips, like everybody had a different jump shot. Everybody had a weird. Everybody looked different. Everybody had a different style.
Right.
And now you know they talk about how everybody's jumper looks the same. Everybody goes to the same camps. Everybody goes to the same AAU, everything.
Yes, yeah.
And everything. Everybody has the same polished game and all that. But then you have these weird people who kind of don't play by the rules and kind of maybe came up outside the system who didn't go to the fancy camps, right?
Right.
Who developed these idiosyncrasies in this game. And Ons Jabeur, who we're going to get to it, is like a textbook example of that. So he doesn't, because he's kind of outside the system, it's not only his attitude, but his style of play. And it's just so invigorating. It's kind of like, you know, how like Senna's randomly had a weird throttle because that's just how he did. Like nobody told him not to do that.
But you know what? You know who they don't include in this doc is this short king, Diego Schwartzman.
Yeah, the Jew.
Who's the Jew, the short Jew.
Anti-Semitism.
I think 16 in the world. He's 16th in the world. I mean, he's a bit older than most of these guys. They're most of the people in this doc. But I do love him. I wish.
Yeah, I mean, they do their best to like. Yeah. This is their best guy, you know, in terms of they had that great video of him like being he's this cute chubby kid, and then he just flips the camera off,
and then they just pause on it, and they're like, there it is.
Yeah,
that was a great little bit of editing. Yeah, I mean he's the peacock. I mean he is, of most of these players, the only one that I was really particularly aware of was him because I was just fascinated. Like, who is this guy who has these meltdowns, who slams his racket, who curses off the ref, who like doesn't practice, doesn't have a coach, but then you watch clips and you're like, holy fuck, that guy's amazing.
And he's like, the way he talks to himself and screams, I mean, he's got very Kevin Garnett vibes, the way he works himself into a lather. But then he'll kind of melt down and just fucking lose.
He kind of doesn't use it. It seems like he doesn't really use it to his advantage on some level. It's only self-harm. Whereas I think John McEnroe, part of the deal with him is that he would get mad, he would have these meltdowns or whatever, but it would only make him play better and it would get in the head of his person he was playing against. It was a little bit more, I think, calculated.
Yeah.
Than Kyrgios's.
No, you know, Kyrgios is like he'll throw the game away.
Right.
Also, there Will Buxton was this woman. Her last name was Nguyen, New Yin.
Yeah.
She, it was so refreshing to just have a journalist just tell me the facts and not be all fucking dramatic about it.
I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, she's
what was
just
her
like
name? Nguyen, Nguyen, Nguyen. I think it's pronounced Nguyen. And she was just like, yeah, it's a very cutthroat sport. And, you know, this is something that that Kyrgios has often had struggled with. And I'm like, thank you. Just tell me what it is. Don't fucking put all this stank on it. In acting, you guys call it throw it away.
Yeah, just throw it away.
Just throw it away.
Just throw it away.
Oh, it was so refreshing. She was amazing.
Yeah, she threw it away, and then Maria Sharapova caught it and kept it. And that was the vibe.
All right, Vankers, producer Jenny back again. So if you want to hear even more, head over right now, minimize this tab and go to patreon.com/TRFpod. You will not regret it. It's honestly going to be some of the best 5 or 10 or 50. That's an option if you want to be a daddy of the pod that you've ever spent. All right. Love you, Vankers. Auf Wiedersehen. See you on the Patreon.